to our seventh Sunday after Pentecost audio worship podcast of Holy Cross Lutheran Church of Austin and our Service Lutheran Church of Brownsville, Minnesota. This is Pastor Olana. The oldest time reading for this Sunday is Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6 through 8, and the epistle is Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 27. And the gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 24 through 30, and 36 through 43. Why must we endure the questions, the challenges, and the things that are not as they should be? The disciples long ago wondered about these too, as we understand from the gospel reading. Why are there weeds in God's field? And what can be done about it? The seed was good, but God has enemies, and so do you. It is not given to us to resolve this until the Lord's time, when He will separate the weeds from the wheat. It is enough for us to know that God knows the heart of people, and that this tension will not endure. When Jesus comes in His glory, the angels will gather out of His kingdom all who do not belong. Then the righteous shall shine like the sun. So take heart, people of God. Join me for the confession of our sin and absolution. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I invite you for a brief silence on God's word and self-examination. Let us then confess our sin to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. and for his sake God forgives all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestow on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory be to God on high.
O God, so rule and govern our heart and mind by your Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of your final judgment, we may be stirred up to wholeness of living here and dwell with you in perfect joy hereafter. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, and now forever. Amen. Our first reading for this Sunday is taken from Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. I have not told you from the old and declared it. And you are my witness. Is there a God beside me? There is no rock. I know not any. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 27. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation awaits with eager longing for the revealing of the Son of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who is subjected, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has begun groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, Groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons and the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. Now hope that seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of our Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seeds in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servant of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seeds in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No. Lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reaper, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seeds is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reaper are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all cause of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please join me for the confession of our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning. This is Pastor Stolman with a devotion for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Let's begin with a prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, of your bountiful goodness, keep us, we pray, from all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish whatever things you want done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. The epistle lesson for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost continues our reading in Paul's letter to the Romans. In today's devotion, the Apostle Paul continues writing about the work of the Holy Spirit, which we heard about last week, and continues in this reading today from Romans 8, beginning at verse 18. Paul writes, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as God's sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Thus far our reading at verse 27. There are many things that we could talk about in this text today, so many that we don't have time to discuss them all. But if we note just how the word groaning or sighing is used, we will get an overview of this reading. We see this word groaning or sighing used three times. Groaning in our flesh. The creation groans in its bondage to decay. And the Spirit groans when he helps us in our prayers. So let's see how these three uses of the word groaning give us a better understanding of the life we live now as we look forward to the next life. Animate creation, that is, animals and vegetable, as well as inanimate creation, mineral and inorganic, all this is frustrated. It was created perfect by God, but ruined by man's fall into sin. Sin puts everything into corruption, including the world and the universe in which we live. This can be observed by any person any day. And so all creation groans as it waits for the day when it will be renewed when Christ returns. Creation will be, as the text says, liberated from its bondage to decay. The physical universe is not destined for annihilation, but for renewal. And living things will no longer be subject to death and decay as they are today. Creation is destined to participate in the final glorious liberty of the children of God, and so creation longs for the day when it shall be set free from its bondage to decay. What the Apostle Paul is writing here is agreed to also by St. Peter when he writes in his second letter, the third chapter, "But according to his, God's promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Secondly, we look at why the Christian groans. The Christian has been made an heir of God and a fellow heir with Christ, but he has not yet received the inheritance. Though the Christian has received the Spirit and already lives in the security of sonship, he still has to wait as long as he lives in the flesh. What is it that is still lacking in this sonship? Paul says it is the redemption of our bodies. Paul does not yearn for liberation from the body as such, but for redemption from this body of death in which we live here. That is what he says expressly in 7 verse 24. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Only when this body of death has given place to the new spiritual body of the resurrection, only when the perishable puts on imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, only then can we properly speak of the revealing of the sons of God. We are saved. That is the present of the Christian life. He who is in Christ, that has faith in Christ, has already received the gift of salvation. But on the other hand, we have that gift only in this hope, as Paul writes here. That is the future of the Christian life. It is of the nature of hope that its object lies in the future. The faith and hope of the Christian reaches forward toward that which lies beyond the veil of death, toward that which does not yet appear. The Christian's true home, then, is in the life that is to come, which is not yet revealed. To that, his yearning and hope reach out. So, Paul concludes by writing, "If we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." That is the tension between the old and the new, between the suffering of this present time and the glory that is to be, that marks the Christian life on this earth and calls forth its groaning, its lying, longing, its sighing. Finally, we talk about the groaning or sighing of the Holy Spirit. As hope sustains the believer in suffering, so the Holy Spirit helps him in prayer with groans or sighs that words cannot express. In verse 23, it is the believer who groans. Here, it is the Holy Spirit. Whether Paul means words that are unspoken or words that cannot be expressed in human language is not clear, probably the former, though verse 27 seems to suggest the latter. So, the relationship between the Holy Spirit and God the Father is so close that the Holy Spirit's prayers need not be audible. God knows his every thought. What can we say to all this? What can we take from this that may impact our daily lives? First of all, this brings us hope. Hope is necessary if one is to live in a time of trouble. We are living in such a time as we live in the time of the pandemic COVID-19. But we can also ask, has there ever been a time when we didn't live in troubled times? No. Even if all things are going good in our health, our family, our finances, our community, our nation, nature around us, there's always the chance of the unexpected. We could get sick. Someone in our family could die. A health crisis affects our financial security. Many jobs in our community are lost because of COVID-19 shutdown. There are destructive riots. There are fires in nature as well as hurricanes and tornadoes. So where is the hope? It is in the promises of God, who created all things and sustains all things. Being people of faith in Jesus Christ, God's Son, we believe his promises and wait for him to fulfill them in his time. Those that don't believe continue in their unbelief and try to rationalize what is happening. On the other hand, our hope gives us patience as we go through each day doing what God wants us to do with the nurture that he provides for us. And our hope is based on the realization of God having kept his greatest promise to us concerning salvation. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die and rise again that we might be saved. And it is in that salvation we live as we wait for him to keep his other promises to us. So Paul writes, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And he also writes in 2 Corinthians 4, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. And that's really good news. Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, whom we have received by your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended by faith in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally by your mercy obtain everlasting life and the glory that you have promised. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, Give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, that receiving what you have promised, we may love what you've commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, and now forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord looks up on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. With this, we bring to the end our audio worship podcast for this morning. May the Lord bless the rest of your days.